Blog Talk Radio.
Lord Jesus.
Live Network, The Summit, with your stand-in host, Lester Carver.
Amen.
Now, Minister Tuggle, are you in
the house? Amen. I'm here.
God, when you showed up.
Amen.
Amen. God, take it on.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God for being here in the name of Jesus Christ. I praise God for each and every single one of you. I want to first give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I want to give honor to the watchman on the wall of this network in Jesus' name, Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name. God bless you on today. And last but not least, amen, I want to give honor to my pastor and my First Lady, Pastor William Tuggle III, and my First Lady, First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle, in Jesus' name, and to each and every one of the Spirit Alive family. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name, and to all of our listening audience around the world, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to thank God. Before we get started, I want to say I want to thank you, Bishop Carver, for filling in for me until I came on, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what we do over here in the Spirit Alive family. We, you know, when one can't make it, amen, we carry on, in Jesus' name. I thank God. I thank God for my Spirit Alive family, in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we have a phenomenal, phenomenal topic today. But the reason why I'm not so, you know, jumpy and everything is because this is a very, very serious, something very, very serious. And all of the topics are serious. But I want you to understand that the Lord has something to say to each and every one of us. And if you are 30 and below, he really has something to say to you. Now, this is for everybody, but this is for also 30 and below today. Amen. Or 40 and below. Amen. I'm going to hit that 30 age bracket all through the 30s. Amen. But today we are talking about a chosen generation. A chosen generation. You might say, well, Minister Adam, yeah, I know where you're going with this. You're going to read about being chosen, right? You're talking about a chosen people. Yeah, I am. But it's going to be something different today, because the Lord has given me an assignment on today to talk about our young people and those alike, those that feel that they young. Amen. We in the body of Christ have a spiritual obligation. We in the body of Christ have a spiritual responsibility. We as parents, we have a responsibility to raise our children. And we in the body of Christ have a spiritual responsibility to raise up the children of God. Whether you're in leadership, I don't care what title you hold. I don't care. You're a bishop, elder, deacon, whatever. You have a responsibility to take care, to help take care of the people of God. Do not take your job lightly. I don't care if you're a minister like I am, or you're a bishop, or you're a pastor. Do not take your job lightly. The reason why I'm saying this is because you can be at the church sweeping the floor and still train up the children of God. Do not take your job lightly, because there is always a young person in the gospel or in natural life that is watching you. And I can say this for a fact, that as a young person and as a young minister and as a person that's grown up in the church, I used to do a lot of watching of the people of God. And that's why I say we all have a moral and a spiritual obligation to hold up the people of God and to hold up our young people. Because should the Lord tarry, they are the future church. But as of right now, the church itself has gone into disarray. You might say, well, Minister Adam, you talk about this a lot. I know that because we're seeing a lot of things going on in the church. I'm not going to call any names, but big name preachers will get up there and say, you can live any kind of way and they accept anything and they can still be saved. It's not so. A chosen generation has been called by God. Now, what is the chosen generation? The chosen generation is the bride of Christ. If we look in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is distinctly talking about a holy nation. It says it in that verse, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Nothing other than royalty can be in that nation. Nothing but holiness can be in that nation. Nothing but greatness can be in that generation. We have been chosen by God to be that generation. Now, I know that you might say, well, the word generation means, people that come after you and are people that have come before you. Yes, but in the body of Christ, he has taken on, God has told us to make ourselves ready for the bride of Christ. We have to get into the bride of Christ. This is the generation, a holy generation. And the generation, the chosen generation has been tainted with. It has been tainted with. And our young people have been messed over, not just in the church, but in life. Some of us that are believers, when we see our children veering off to the left, we don't just, the Bible does say, train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they will not depart. And in training them, you have to correct them. In correction, sometimes correction is not only a chastisement, but sometimes correction is sitting down, talking to them, seeing who they are, seeing what they believe, seeing where their minds are with God. This is the generation that we are living in the natural. This natural generation is so messed up because we, as the body of Christ, are not doing what we need to do in God. When we see our young people drifting off, we talk about them. And they get that enough in the world. As everybody knows, I work in a daycare and I work in a school. I work in a center. And at the center, these young children go through a lot. Just at this center that I'm at. And I know around the world, children go through a whole lot. But I watch the parent treat their child a wrong way, all because they did not like the opposite parent. That right there is wrong. When you tell children, oh, you're going to be just like your daddy, or you're going to be just like your mama, or I don't like you because you look like your mama, or you look like your daddy, or whatever, they get enough of that in the world. They don't need that coming from the church. They don't need that. These young people need to be shown and need to be given a spiritual foundation, because there is a devil that is trying to consume the church, the chosen generation, and our young people. The devil is trying to do all he can to consume the very foundation of a child. Now, children are not born with a foundation. You have to build them a foundation. And the best foundation to build them up under is in Christ. Because it must be Christ first and then everything second. You might say, well, Brother Adam, why is it Christ first and everything second? Well, because if that child does not have that spiritual foundation, when they become older, they will not know how to fight the problems of their life, because every problem, I don't care if it's a sickness or a disease or whatever it might be, every person that lives on this earth, something, whether it be good or bad, something spiritual is attached to them. I don't care who you are. Demons are spirits. And these demonic spirits will take over our children if we allow it to. And these children have a fight on their hands. And in the body of Christ, we have a fight on our hands. We have a fight on our hands. This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to fast. This is why stay constantly in the Word of God. But not just us. We should take our children, sit our children down. Let them let my mom and my dad, especially my mother. My mother used to make me and my cousin, when my cousin came and lived with us, she used to make me and my cousin read for 15, 20 minutes. She didn't care what book, but she would have us sometime read the Bible for 15 to 20 minutes. Every day after us doing our homework, she would say, sit there and read. And if you can't find a book, grab a Bible. If you don't read all your books, if you don't read all your textbooks and all this stuff, grab a Bible and read it. And before you read it, ask the Lord to help you to understand it. And if you have any questions, come to me. And I will show you. This is what we need to do. We need to sit down and have Bible study with our children. We need to sit down and have Bible classes with our people, with babes in Christ, so that they can learn the very foundation of where they come from spiritually. There are a lot of people that do not know where they spiritually come from. They don't know the inheritance that Jesus has for them. And we as believers and we as the body of Christ, we must partake in the word and then pass that word on to them. And don't think just because, well, that's not my child, that's not my... You know, look, it takes a village to raise a child. That's the old saying. It takes a village. And it takes a village. Now, it takes a village to help spiritually too. Now, what I'm saying by it takes a village, don't get it twisted. Because just because you're helping does not mean you're in, don't mean that you're don't mean that you can take over. Don't mean that you're the pastor or the bishop. But anywhere, I told my two oldest children, when me and my wife got married, they were already here. And I told them, I said, I'm not here to take your father's place, but I'm just here to help out where I can. And when I said that, my oldest told me, he said, well, my dad is not here. My dad is not around. And he said the most worst thing I could ever hear a young boy say, I don't even like him. And I told him right then, and I stopped him, and I said, son, look, you love your father in spite of. You love him in spite of everything else because that's still your father. These are the very foundational tools that we need to use. There is no reason why a young person should not be at school and be given, look, in the school systems, they are forcing our young people. They are forcing it down their throat. The wrong that is going on in these schools, they are forcing it down their throats. The Bible, the Word of God, if we read the text, it says, "He whosoever will let him come." The Lord does not force himself upon nobody. But the devil does. He tries to force himself. He tries to force and enforce that very thing that you don't need in your life. But the one thing we need to do is we need to save that chosen generation. Now, I'm going to go to a scripture real quick. I'm going to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Amen. And I want to read this because what the Lord gave to me is something that, you know, we are the chosen generation. We are the royal priesthood if we're in Christ. If we're in Christ. If we're leaning and depending on God and we don't let nothing come between our relationship, we are that chosen generation. Amen. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, we just read it right there. He called us out of darkness. He didn't force us out. But the devil will force himself. I quote this verse all the time, John 10 and 10, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. He just comes on in. A thief, when you look at a thief just comes on in. He don't care. He forces himself in. He forces himself in. No matter if you home or not. But Jesus, he comes, he's begging you to come. Whosoever will let him come. There's other scriptures. I love the scripture that says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. He's not telling you. He's asking you. The Lord is asking you to lay it aside. Just lay it aside. Just lay aside every weight and sin. Put down the garments of sin. Put it down and come unto me. You're weary. You're weary If you're not in well-doing, you're weary. If your life is messed up, come on. If you have no other alternative, come on. But the devil, like I said, with these schools, they're forcing the devil's agenda on our children. And some of these so-called pastors, because they have rebelled against the word of God, oh, I don't see it like that, and I don't think he said it that way, knowing full well it's right there. Oh, he didn't say it that way. This is a new age, and this the Lord's doing a new thing. No, he's not. Now, I get why some people say that. I'm not knocking the thing that says God's doing a new thing. But he's not doing a new thing to the point that you remain in sin. He ain't doing that. He's not doing that. I'm sorry. The Bible lets us know, must we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So he's not doing a new thing when it comes to you staying in your sin. And there are some preachers and pastors and deacons and whatever you want to call yourself, say it's okay. They're okaying this. They are okaying the sins that we see. They're okay. And look, this is not, they are hurting. We have people out there in the world that are hurting. Not just young people, but middle-aged, wiser people. And the reason why I say wise people is because I don't say older people, amen? I say wiser people. Whether they be saved or unsaved, they still live longer than me. They got every older person got a little bit of wisdom somewhere. I believe that. It's not Bible, but I believe. My grandfather, I remember my grandfather on my mother's side. He told me one time, he said, Adam. Well, he didn't say my name. He never said my name. He always said, grandson, I'm going to tell you something. I was in California, and me and my grandfather went to the mall. And he said, we were at the mall, and I was shopping. And he was following behind me. And one day I had my wallet in my back pocket. And my grandfather pickpocketed me just to teach me a lesson. My grandfather slipped my wallet out of my back pocket, and when I went up to the cashier to pay for my items that I was getting ready to buy, I reached in my pocket and I'm like, wait a minute, where's my wallet? Where's my wallet? And my grandfather just nicely held it up. My granddad, what you doing with my wallet? And he said, he taught me a lesson. He said, grandson, I'm going to tell you this right now. Don't you ever do that again. And I said, what's that, granddad? He said, don't ever put your wallet in your back pocket. Never. He said, because somebody could come up and take it from you. And that was wise teaching. And now, to this day, I don't do that. He said, always keep your wallet in front of you. Always keep your wallet in front of you because you know where it is. And ain't nobody about to reach in your front pocket. Ain't nobody just about to come up and reach in your front pocket. And based off of that, I learned something. And I was 20-something. Amen. But we got a lot of preachers that are spewing profane messages and hurting the chosen generation, and hurting the next generation of saints, hurting babies in Christ. And we that are Holy Ghost filled, We that are water baptized got to come to the forefront. Amen. We have to come to the forefront. Why? Because the Bible lets us know there is a chosen generation, but there's also another generation in the body of in the spirit. I ain't gonna say in the body of Christ because that body, this generation is not in the body of Christ. There's two generations. There's two generations in the spirit. There's the chosen generation, and there's an untorn generation. It's two different generations in the body of Christ. You might say, well, where can I find about the untorn generation? What is the untorn generation? The untorn generation is a generation, well, it's basically a generation of vipers. Amen? They do anything that they want to do. And that's what that's what some preachers are doing. They're in the untorn generation because they have rebelled against the word of God. They have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. They walk, they talk, they dress, some of them, they look holy. Some of them, you can't tell whether they're Holy Ghost filled or not. Because the way they dress and the way they act, they calling themselves holy, but they oh my God, they look so worldly, it don't make no sense. I know a person right now that has a saying when they're on their radio show, and I'm just looking. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just looking. I'm like, no, bro. That's not holy. I'm sorry. What you're doing is not holy. What you're doing is unholy. But I don't have a heaven or no hell to put nobody in. But when it comes to Bible, if you are living for Christ, you'll bear fruit. And if your fruit is not bearing, if your life is not bearing any fruit, then you a lie. You a lie. If your life is not bearing any fruit of that which is founded in the word of God, then you a lie. Everything you're doing, everything a person is doing, if you're not bearing holiness, you can't call it holy. And there are some preachers that are calling things that are unholy, holy. They are using good expressive words that make them sound whole, make them sound good, but yet they're in sin. And this is what we need to watch for as a chosen generation, to bring on the next chosen generation for the church. Should the Lord tarry, we need to be able to help those that are coming along after us, because just like in our family tree, we have elders that we look to guide us, to show us. And that goes the same way in the body of Christ. You look. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You are not going to walk, if you are holy, you are not going to be around unholiness. You're not going to conversate unholy. But be around strong people in God. Be around strong, anointed people. People that can get a prayer through. People that when the prayers go up, they're not just reaching the ceiling and coming back down. Because we got some of those in the church. They prayers are just going up to the ceiling and coming right back down. We got people that are dancing around the church, but they ain't got no power. The devil just looking at them like, okay. They praise God on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, they whatever they are. It's a whatever. It's a whatever Monday through Saturday. But on Sunday, oh, yeah, I'm giving God the glory. No, it's time out. It is time for the chosen generation to come forth. I'm going to show you. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Because I'm going to show you something. Because everything I'm saying is in the Word of God. Everything I'm saying, you'll find it in the Word. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Now, I'm about to show you. I said it earlier that there is a chosen generation and there's an untorn generation. What is the untorn generation? An untorn generation is a generation that says, I can do anything I want to do. I can live any kind of way. I can live my life any kind of way and still think I'm going to heaven. But that's not so. That's not so. Because the Bible, which the verse we're getting ready to read, is getting ready to show us why. It has nothing to do. I'm just going to read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. It reads, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untorn generation. Why did Peter say that? You might ask. Peter said this after telling the people to be baptized, to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. And after you've repented and been baptized in Jesus' name, you'll receive the Holy Ghost. And in verse 39, we know that, and this promise is unto you and unto your children, and unto those that are far off. But after that, he said, he exhorted and testified more, but at the end of it, he said, save yourself from this untorn generation. This generation has been torn. The next generation that comes after us has been torn. And why has it been torn? Because we as a body of Christ have not been doing what we need to do in the body of Christ. We haven't been doing all that we need to do. When we see our brother and our sister, when we see that child down, do we pray for them or do we step on their necks? Do we? Are we really doing? I asked this a couple of episodes ago. What are we really doing? What we are? Do we really do what we need to do? Are we fully committed to the gospel? Are we fully committed to the work of God? Are we helping people? Are we leading souls to Christ? Is our life pleasing unto God to the point that somebody can look at you and say, hey, he's saved, she's saved? Or do they look at you and say, oh, well, he goes to church, but he ain't saved. Do you really help that chosen generation? Are you of that untorn generation? There's a lot of people that can speak so eloquently and so nice and be so wrong. You can be so nice. And let me tell you something. You can be a morally good individual and be wrong. Uh-oh. You might say, well, I don't cuss, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. If you are not helping somebody come out of their sin, if that person is looking at you and they are and they see your life, and your life ain't you say, but you ain't producing no fruit, and that person gotta look somewhere else to find the peace that they need. They can't see it in you. They can't see the, not you, but the Jesus in you that brings them peace, that can bring them the peace. Something wrong with you. Something wrong with me. If they can't see the Jesus in me, look, I'm going to tell you something. I had a conversation with someone on my job this past week. And I, all this week, and I'm going to be honest with you, all this week, I have been emotionally, mentally, and physically drained. And it's by the spirits that I had to deal with. And I'm just being honest. And did anybody do anything to me? No. No. But the things that I saw, and one of the people said that they're a Christian. But yet, they didn't act like one. And the person that, the other person that was on my job pointed it out. They pointed it out unto me, and they pointed it out unto, they wanted to point it out unto the individual that you call yourself a Christian, but yet you holding in anger, and you looking like you mad all the time, and you looking like, what makes a person that's supposed to be in Christ, supposed to be at peace in Christ, and you angry all the time? Just all the time angry. All the time you frustrated. Now, I know weary, the Bible says don't be not weary in well-doing. I know sometimes we get weary. I know sometimes life gets a little bit challenging, but every day you look and act like you have no good days. And this is what we're talking about, a chosen generation. Sometimes you got to grill up the problems of life, and you got to eat it. You got to grill it up, put a smile on your face, and go on. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself, because sometimes we're going to be by ourselves in this walk with God. Sometimes we got to stand alone and see the salvation of the Lord. We got to stand and see the salvation of God. Amen. At this time, I'm opening the floor up to my Spirit Alive family and anybody else that's listening that would want to have remarks on the topic, a chosen generation, on today. The floor is open at this time. In Jesus' name, I'm starting this a little bit early today. Amen, because I want to get some feedback from not just myself. Amen. So if anybody has anything that they want to say or leave a testimony or a comment, you can do so at this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Douglas?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I wanted to, it made me think of a couple verses that are in the Bible that we need to always remember. you have to realize that for 4,000 years after Adam's sin, that man was without power. Man was without the Holy Spirit. But after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the Holy Spirit became available to us, within us, and we were able to go directly before the throne of God ourselves and receive his grace and his mercy every day new. And so what we have to begin to tell people and remind them of is that the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful, and powerful enough to not only cover your sin, but to restore you and make you able to get back to work immediately. Mm-hmm. Now look what it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. It said, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We have to understand that it's God's faithfulness that establishes us and keeps us from evil. And then our expectation has to be consistent with what the Word of God says. So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not, right? We have to receive the love of God and understand that we've been called the sons of God and understand that we are foreigners to the world. They don't know us because they didn't know him. And we have to understand our identity is in Christ. And when we are in that place where we're being led by the Spirit of God, we are the sons of God. Nobody can talk us out of that. And what it says in 1 John 3:2 is, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Only for the past 2,000 years have we had the power of the Holy Spirit within us. That's half as long as mankind went without the Holy Spirit. And yet, we are so unfamiliar with what it means to walk in the Spirit in full power, producing signs, miracles, and wonders. And it says that signs, miracles, and wonders will follow those who believe, right? So we all have a lot of growing to do to grow to the level where God needs us to be, so that signs, miracles, and wonders follow us in our manifestations and demonstrations of our faith, of the fact that we do believe. So we're getting there. We're all getting nearer and closer to God. But it's only with the humility that comes in true submission to the authority of Jesus Christ as our Master and Lord. So I just wanted to share that, and I hope that it's as much of a blessing as what you've been sharing with everybody today, so that we can know who we are and understand that now is the time to get it together. Thank you, man of God.
Amen. Anybody else have a comment in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. My thing today is that, just like Bishop Carver said, it is time for us to understand who we are, understanding the identity that God has given us. Now, I like what Bishop Carver said, the identity. God gave us an identity when he created man. He gave us the identity. He said, let us create man in our own image. The image of God is holy. The image of God is righteous. Righteousness and holiness. But it was when Adam fell that we lost our identity. Sin took the identity of mankind, the original identity of mankind. This identity that we have in this present world is not considered our original identity. Our identity was founded in God, in holiness, in righteousness. But we, as people, have chosen, just like Adam chose, We have chosen to take on our own identity and put a back the identity that God has given us on the back burner. This is where the untorn generation comes from, because originally we were chosen to be a chosen generation. We were chosen to be holy. We were chosen to be righteous. We were chosen to be right. And when Adam sinned, sin took the identity along with everything else. But when God died for us, he took sin takes a lot out of a person. That's why, like I said earlier, John 10:10. For the thief coming but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Sin does the same thing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. He came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But if we look back in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So you can be the chosen generation that God has equipped you to be, or called you to be. Because the Bible says many are called, but few are what? Chosen. Few are chosen. And those that are chosen, you have a moral and a spiritual responsibility to bring forth the next generation, giving them a spiritual foundation, teaching them. Do you not know? Okay, I said before about the young people. People of God, if you have children, do you not know? Look, I'm going to deal with the older children. If you have older children, now my dad has been taking care of me, and I say this as a joke, but my father has been taking care of me 35 years. You might say, well, wait, I thought you lived on your own. Yeah, I do. I have a wife and have children and everything, but my father has never stopped fathering me. My father still gives me advice on things. And I honestly say, and I will say it over the radio, my father has never, ever, not once told me anything wrong. Everything he has said to me has come to pass and has been right. And I'm thankful for that, because now, has he done everything right as a parent? No, no parent has. But me, parents on this earth, on this side of heaven, haven't done everything right. But I can honestly say that my father, my natural father, gave me a spiritual foundation. My mother gave me a spiritual foundation so that when I became a man, I can fight off the enemy. The Bible lets us know that when I was a child, I thought as a child. I acted as a child. But when I became a man, I put away what childish things. I was able to make a decision to put away sin for myself because I had that spiritual foundation. I tried Jesus for myself. I found my identity in Christ that he had for me. And this is what we need to be teaching. This is what we need to be preaching, the identity of Christ for their life. Because this generation is in a chokehold of the devil's grip. And the only way we will be able to unloose that chokehold is if we get more deep in God We have to get deep in God first. Then we have to repent for the things that we should have done, that God told us to do, that we have not done. And that's why this is why people are in the state that they're in, both in and out of the church. We have not walked in our spiritual identity. Do you not understand that the devil himself, his kingdom is organized. He goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The devil has help, but he's organized. And I'm gonna share this with you. I'm gonna share this with you because I want you to understand this. The devil is shrewd. He does not like anybody, whether you are a preacher or whether you are a sinner. It does not matter. He does not like anybody. And the reason for that is because he hates God. Because of man being created in God's image, in God giving us an identity, the devil hates it. Because the devil had an identity.
Y'all quiet on me.
The devil had an identity, and he lost his identity by trying to bring out his own identity. He wanted to walk in his own identity. And he was kicked out of heaven. And so, since he was kicked out and lost his identity, he wants everybody else to join him. And that's why the way the world is right now. The devil's on his business. What about us? What about us? We need to reevaluate what our identity is in God. And then once we evaluated, analyzed it, then we need to ask God, how do I walk in my God-given identity? How do I walk in my God-given identity? What is my purpose in this chosen generation? I'm part of it, so what do I do? Where do I go? What do I say? How do I live? Ask yourself, is there more that I can do? What is my God-given identity? Some of us in the church have lost our identity. We started out great. We started out great and doing everything, and then somewhere along the line we started getting lackadaisy in our prayer life, in our fast life, and then we started losing our identity little by little because we're not doing the thing. See, and I'm going to say this. My dad told me a long time ago, whatever you did, he told all his boys, when you get married, whatever you did to get that woman is the same thing you got to do to keep her. Why? Because she was attracted to what you did. And to keep her where you want her to be, you got to keep doing that. Don't just stop after you get her. Don't just stop after you said, I do. But keep doing it. And that's the same thing with God. The same thing that we did when we got the Holy Ghost. When we first got the Holy Ghost, we were so keyed in on doing everything that God wanted us to do. We wanted to know. We wanted to learn. We were in the world, the same, and we built ourselves up in God. But as time went on, we started getting lackadaisy. I got too much on my plate right now. I can't pray right now. I can't read my word. No, the same thing you did to get to where you are in God, you got to keep doing to keep it, to keep that anointing, to keep that fire, to keep that identity. Otherwise, the thief coming but to steal, kill, and to destroy. The thief going to steal it from you. Slowly but surely. Slowly but surely. The devil will come in and steal from you. And he will take and take and take. And he ain't giving. And the things that he does give, it ain't worth a hill of a bean anyway. He tried to offer it to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He offered him all of the kingdoms. Jesus wasn't interested in that stuff. Jesus was not interested. He rebuked him. The devil knew that Jesus was fasting. He said, "If these turn these stones to bread." He told Jesus to turn the stones to bread. The devil knows what we go through. He's going to try to tempt us in every area of our life, if he could. He sees sometimes when we go through the battle, when we go through the test, it is good for us to get closer to God. Don't worry about the problem. Don't worry about the test. But get closer. You see yourself drifting off, get close. It's time to do more fasting. It's time to do more praying. When you feel yourself in a spiritual tight squeeze, get yourself in the Word of God. I need to do more reading. What's going on here? Why am I not praying enough? Wait a minute. Let me take some time out. All that other stuff can wait. But, Brother Adam, I need to work. I need to take care to get all that other stuff can wait. The Bible lets us know what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. But I thought the Bible said a man that don't work don't eat. Don't put the natural stuff before your relationship with Christ. Don't do it. I don't know who I'm talking to. The Bible lets us know. The Bible tells us what shall separate us from the love of God. That nothing shall separate us. Should height, should death, should things present, things to come, nothing shall separate us. Because we've already been separate from God the first time. We were separate from God because of the sins of mankind. And then God dies for us and brings us back unto fruition with him. He said, I'm going to die for you. Why would you want to continue in sin and die a second time? Makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. You got a free life. A free life. Yeah, you're going to have problems. Yes, you're going to have tests. But you got a free life. You're free. Once you receive the identity of God, once you receive the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, once you are walking in your God-given identity, you are free. Free to live for him. Free to be happy. Free to have joy. Free to have peace. Yes, the tests and trials of your life might be hard, but you still got peace. You're free. Why? Because I got the greater on the inside of me. The Bible says greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So if I got the greater, if I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, how do I know that I'm free? How do I know that I'm free? Because I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. The Bible says he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible also says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty is freedom. Liberty is freedom. We got freedom in him. We got freedom to speak things as not as though they were. We got freedom. Come on here. We got freedom to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We got people now in the world today and in the church that are going through spiritual and natural ailments, going through spiritual and natural infirmities that shouldn't be there. Quiet as it's kept, we should be able to be so close to God that we can lay hands on the sick and they recover, that we can be able to speak unto the mountain and the mountain be removed. But now the anointing and the power of God has been oozed out of the church because we have traded anointing for entertainment. We have traded truth for false doctrine. We have traded the anointing of God. What we think is the anointing of God is only entertainment in some of these churches now. Some of these churches ain't got one lick of anointing because the Bible lets us know it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. That anointing, the power of God, that it will burn out everything. The Holy Ghost is a consuming fire, and it will burn out everything that's not of God out of a person. My former pastor used to say, you can love somebody so much that you can love hate right out of somebody. You can love hate out of somebody. You can love the devil out of somebody because of so much love. But we need to get back to the identity. We need to get back. We need to come back to being a chosen generation. The generation that is peculiar. Wonder what, look, Bishop Carver said it earlier. We're not of this world. That's why we're peculiar. Peculiar, they're wondering, who are you? I've never seen anybody like you. That's what peculiar is. But we got to get back to it. That's why I love the old mothers and fathers of the gospel that did not trade their anointing. They didn't trade. I know an old saint. She's gone on to be with the Lord now. But I remember hearing about this mother. Her name was Evangelist Mildred Boyd. And this mother was so in tune with God. I mean, she was so connected with God that she had a son. She had a son that got stabbed at a nightclub, stabbed to death. She was in another state. She got the phone call that her son was dead. I mean, dead in the morgue. She said, "Hold my son's body there." And this is a true story. She flew from the state that she was at here to Indianapolis. And she went to that morgue and viewed her son's body laying on that slab. And she was so in tune with God. She had a relationship so big with God that she laid hands on her son, and her son, come on, came. The Lord brought her son back to life. That's how powerful we need to be. That's our identity. She knew her identity in God. She knew who she was in God. Some of these preachers don't even know who they are. They barely know who they are. They don't know who they are. They self. Jesus. They really don't know who they are in God. Barely know who they are. They self. We have traded, like I said, we have traded the anointing for entertainment. We have traded truth for motivational speeches in the church. We have traded the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ for motivational speeches. Oh, you gonna get that car. Oh, you gonna get that house. You gonna get that business. And we got all of the lights and everything going and all this stuff. Look, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with progressing in life. But the Bible says you prosper as your what? Soul prosper. If you prosper, and I've said this before, if you are prospering in life with your soul, and I'm going to say it, if your soul is not right with God, but you yet prosper in life, you're dead. You're dead. You are spiritually dead. That's great that you have the car. It's great that you have the house. It's great that you have the business. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The Bible lets me know that when he is gone to prepare a place for me, that where he is, I may be also. But the only way that I get to where God wants me to be, the only way that I get to that place that God has prepared for me is that I seek out my identity in God, and that I am in that chosen generation, in that royal priesthood, that I'm leading souls to Christ. Because when I get saved, it just don't stop there. I got a work to do. I got a God to glorify. I'm not just here just to twiddle my thumbs in the church. I'm not, oh, well, I got mine. Everybody else needs to get there. No. Spirit of God don't work that way. Spirit of God don't work that way. We have to preach this gospel in season, out of season, and not just what comes out of our mouth, but the way we live. Do you know the best way to preach to somebody is living out the word of God? That's the best way. That's the best. You have given the best sermon. You don't need no pulpit to preach from to give your best. Oh, I ain't preached my best sermon yet. Look, if you live in the life of godliness, you're preaching your best sermon. Live holy. Live righteous. Because holiness and righteousness is where it's at. Because if you don't have holiness, if a person does not have righteousness, you will not see the kingdom. You will not see, a person will not see the kingdom without it. The Bible lets me know that in Hebrews. Amen. It says, follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You and I and everybody else, we cannot go to heaven bound up. It's just like getting ready for a airplane flight. If you've ever been on an airplane, you know to pack. Some people, they pack the night before. See, when I go on trips like that, I start packing. I don't start putting stuff in my suitcase, but I start looking at things. I start getting myself ready a week in advance, making sure I have what I need, making sure I have this, making sure I have that. Make it short. Is my itinerary right? What if I have to switch flights? What do I What do I do? Where do I go? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do this? What time? I do all of that to make my flight run smoothly. I do everything I can possibly can do to make sure my flight to wherever destination I'm going to runs smoothly. And that's the same thing we need to do with God. We have to make our calling and election sure. Because the Bible lets us know that we will not see the kingdom of God unless we're right, unless we are right with him. And there's a lot of things in this world that will try to come up and get you off course, get you off track on what God has got for you to do. Because let me tell you something. This is for preachers. And this is what the Lord just dropped in my spirit. If you call yourself saved, don't think you're going to heaven with your works undone. If God told you to do this and do that and you ain't done it yet, don't think that you're going to work with your, don't think you're going to heaven with your works undone. God told you to pray more and you, well, I got to go to work tomorrow morning and I got to do this and I got to do that, so I ain't got time to pray. Don't you know if God tells you to do something and you don't do it, that's sinning? That's sinning. Because the Bible says all disobedience is sin. And you cannot fly heavy. When a person has sin on their life, they will fly heavy. Your flight will be delayed or your flight will be canceled. If you leave this world, if you leave this world without the proper things that God has ordained for you to have, if you have not done, if you have not made the preparations, you will not be taking that spiritual flight. Your flight will be canceled. And I hate to say it that way, but that's the truth. And man, I hope that you got something out of this. I pray that your week, this next week coming up, is a very blessed one for you. Amen. It is not me personally. This is not scripture or anything like that. I'm talking from me now. My mission is not to condemn anybody personally. Me personally, I'm not here to condemn anybody. But I'm here, and the Spirit Alive Network is here. We're not here to condemn, but we're here to see that people get set free. And this is the road to freedom in the spirit. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week and a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. Make sure that you, if you are not saved today, I'm going to tell you, get to a holiness church that preaches and teaches the baptism in Jesus' name. I ain't going to tell you, look, I know that there's a sinner's prayer and all that. I get that. I get it. I understand it. But that ain't all of it. That ain't all of it. Some people may not like me after this, but that ain't all of it. You have to be. Everybody, you must repent, and you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you have to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God give the utterance. That's the only way. That's the only way to receive, for you to get knowledge of your God-given identity, for you to be able to be a chosen, to be in that chosen generation. Amen. Acts 2 and 38. Amen. And if you don't believe that you can receive the Holy Ghost after you've done made up in your mind to that I'm going to put away the sins, I'm not going to do that stuff no more. God, and you repent of your sins and you get baptized in Jesus' name, God will fill you with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and you will have the greater on the inside of you. I promise you. Well, how do I know it's for me? Verse 39 lets us know. And this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord thy God shall call. It's unto everybody that wants it. Whosoever will, let him come. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Apostle Cook, thank you for allowing us to come one more time to bring forth the word in Jesus' name. All of my Spirit Alive family, God bless you all. Amen. Listening audience, I love you all in Jesus' name. Until next week, God bless you. I love you. But most of all, Jesus loves you more. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, you can't see me. But if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Love you guys.